KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
Man, it's good to be home, back in studio for the first time in a week, and so many things to cover. So let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And guess what? We'll actually take phone calls today.
We're back.
Indeed.
We are back, bitches.
Absolutely.
We're back in the saddle, the proverbial saddle. We don't really have saddles in the studio, but we're kind of back in them.
The equivalent is Bangy the Sex Bear has been over, so I guess that's close to being in the saddle.
Our sex bear is there. It looks like it's been...
Somebody's been active.
Yeah, someone's taken advantage of our poor friend since we've been gone.
Oh, that's what he's there for. It's acceptable.
I know, but I feel like when we're gone, it's almost inappropriate for someone else to...
Well, yeah, it is our sex bear.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind sharing with you guys, but...
I don't even really like that. Like, I have an emotional bond with that bear, and I feel like it's just trampled on by all you perverts.
God, I hope it wasn't Barry Warner. Do not want to be Eskimos with Barry Warner. 713-780-ESP is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday. Usually you guys are not in a great mood. Go ahead and be in a good mood today. This is fun. It's good to be back in studio. We can actually take some phone calls, sit back, chill. All good. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. What's going on with you?
A little bit of everything.
I'm having such a good day.
Yeah? Tell me
about
it.
Such a good day. What I've realized is the reason why I felt so crappy in Vegas this whole time is because, you know, I've been taking that on it stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't take any with me.
Oh.
And now that I'm back home and I'm back on the junk, I feel like a million bucks. On top of that, had a meeting in Pearland today with the Deep South Barrels guys.
Yes.
Meeting finished up. What do? I go over to Killen's Barbecue.
Oh.
Smashed on that beef rib.
Ugh.
Ugh. So I'm riding high, my man. I am feeling fantastic.
That barbecue's for real.
It's
Did you time it? Did you time it where you didn't have to stand in line?
I stood in line for about 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah. See, that's if you go after 1 o'clock, 1:30, that's about all it is.
And I saw a fat guy fall down. Like,
that's even better.
I fell flat down. It was so bad that I felt sad about it.
You felt sad?
Yeah, I felt sad.
Usually that's the kind of thing that makes you laugh.
If it was just a kind of fat guy, I would have felt good about it, and I would have laughed probably out loud. But this guy was the kind of fat guy where it almost you feel like
you feel shame.
Yeah, you're picking on someone who can't help it. You know what I mean? It's like, and I still go through that. I have to work that out in my mind. Yesterday, we're walking home. I was walking back to my car from the show we did at Christian's Tailgate. And, of course, we're downtown Houston, so there's homeless people. And there was a hobo sleeping, curled up against the wall. And I almost took a picture of him and said, it looks like Vegas has followed me here, because I had a picture of a guy sleeping in the hallway of my hotel room in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, that's really insensitive to this hobo. So I didn't do it. And there's like a certain, but if it was like a drunk frat boy, I would have done it.
Right.
So if it were a kind of normal fat guy, I would have laughed. But this guy was so fat that it made me feel bad.
Okay. So there are standards, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. The homeless thing downtown, I see a lot of those guys, and there's a lot of pictures that would be entertaining. I can't do it. I mean, those guys, you know, they have enough trouble as it is. So. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I spent a little bit this afternoon going through and putting together my NHL bets. So if there's enough interest in the 6 o'clock hour, I can throw you previews on each series and who to bet.
Okay.
So I feel pretty good.
I have done none of that.
I feel very good about two series with underdogs.
Okay.
And one of the teams that I was really starting to like was Pittsburgh, but both goalies are injured, so I don't know what to do about that. Okay. Hey, your Astros won yesterday.
I did. It dominated yesterday.
Can I just say I was 100% right that Colin McHugh would lower his ERA?
It lowered it significantly.
Did it in the first inning.
Yeah.
He was safe. I was safe on that prediction. And, good win for them. They look better. They look like they do at home sometimes. So, at least... But you just heard an hour of that from David Dilotti, so you probably don't want to hear any more baseball.
No, I think everybody's baseballed out.
John, what was Dilotti's big topic today?
He didn't have a big topic. He talked to Phil Garner. He was talking about the Astros win. He was talking about the slide rule, that kind of stuff. And then he brought up First Take had an argument about who's better, who ranks better, Kobe or Jeter, because they both retired, and he kind of had a little fun with that, so.
All right.
That's a debate.
Is it not a debate?
Uh-huh. I mean, do they play the same sport? I get confused by things like that. Yeah, okay. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 215 says, I think the bums are worse in downtown Austin. You'd think they'd kick them out for an event. They did for the Final Four. They got the homeless out of downtown Houston. There were only a few, and they were way on the other side of downtown, where people weren't going, which is what I assume they'll do for the Super Bowl.
All right.
Austin's, I don't remember it being that bad in Austin. I mean, I see a few.
I mean, listen, every downtown has homeless people. That's the way it works. Homeless people don't move out to the burbs.
Right.
They generally stay in the downtown area. That's where, that's where the action is, I guess, if you're homeless.
Well, that's where the shelters are.
Right.
There's two shelters that I know of and a medical place for them. So, it's also near that bus station. That's another thing that draws them.
Bus people?
Yeah. Well, out-of-town bus people, not metro bus people, but people who come from other places.
All bus people.
Looking for...
If you ride the bus, you're a bus person. Everyone knows that.
I think they're different things.
When I was in Austin, I dedicated a segment every week to interviewing bus people, and you would be amazed at the things bus people will say. Amazed! They are a different breed, my man. Different breed than us normal car drivers. You're not used to that kind of stuff.
Although
you did ride the bus one time when your car was broken.
Yes,
right?
I'll never do that again. I'll just call Get Me.
Because you're not a bus person.
No,
you were faking being a bus person.
Well, you don't have that
DNA in you.
I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. I've done it a couple times, but I don't need to mess with that.
That was then.
Yeah. I'll pay $1.25 rather than pay $15 for a ride.
Yeah, but you made a mistake.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm all set.
If you were a bus person, it'd be okay. It would make more sense.
Hey, I just want two quick shout outs first to Christian's Tailgate for having us out there yesterday. That was awesome. Really appreciate that. And to the Get Me guys for sponsoring the show. The wife used them to and from the airport and has already deleted her Uber app. So
nice.
That ought to tell you how well she liked it. And I loved it too. It's a Texas company. They vet the drivers. I highly recommend you check them out. And she was like, can I just get the same driver every time? This guy was great. We talk politics, of course. You know, she is. Anybody that talks politics with her and agrees with her is great. So anyway, that's a shout out to those two guys. So your Rockets. They're in a position now. All they have to do is win.
Win, no matter what.
All they have to do is win, and they get your beloved Warriors in the first round.
Well, it's coming down to what I've said all season. Well, not all season, but since the All-Star break, I would rather have a ping pong ball in the lottery than play the Warriors. And we'll see tonight if the Rockets are smart enough to heed my warning, because the chances of hitting that one ping pong ball are greater than the chances of the Rockets beating the Warriors in a 7-game series.
I can tell you what delusional fan on Twitter is saying.
I already know what they're saying. They think they've got a chance.
Yeah.
If they get hot at the right time, okay, you can think that all you want.
And the Warriors aren't playing very well down the stretch here.
But I'm telling you now.
Yeah, the Warriors are actually under a lot of pressure right now and still pulling out games.
So. Well, I'm just telling you now. This is, and remember, in the playoffs, you're not playing back-to-backs.
Right.
They get plenty of rest. And this team, when they're rested, they're better. On regular rest, the Warriors, there's not even anybody who's in a discussion with them. They're better than everybody. If you get the Warriors on the back end of a back-to-back, you got a puncher's chance with them. That's not how it works in the playoffs, though. I'm telling you now, and I mean this with 100% sincerity, the Rockets have a better chance of winning the lottery as the first team out of the playoffs than they do of winning a series against the Warriors. I think they should just tank tonight or tank the next game. That's it.
Well, I'll take it a step farther. Let's say game one, Steph Curry blows a knee, Klay Thompson gets hurt, which is pretty much the only way the Rockets have any chance. And let's say those guys are out the rest of the series and the Rockets somehow win it anyway.
Okay.
They ain't going any farther than that. And they're not good enough to beat anybody in the West right now.
No.
Have you not watched this team for the last month? And I'm with you. I would much rather see them go ahead and just lose that game, get a lottery ball, hit the reset button.
Right.
All right. We will take some phone calls next segment because we haven't talked to you guys in a week. 713-780-3776 is the number if you wish to get in.
All right, guys. Going to tell you about Dirt Free. I've used Dirt Free for a long time. You guys know about that. I've been telling you about them for a long time. You can use them all over Texas. Spring cleaning, that time of year. You want to get your house looking right. And a lot of the carpet cleaning companies will actually leave your carpets dirtier than they found them. Not the case with Dirt Free. Other places will leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Don't deal with that. Call Dirt Free. 281 Dirt Free. Go chemical free with Dirt Free carpet. They use powerful engines to create high pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep clean without soaps or unhealthy dirt attracting chemicals. For over 30 years, Dirt Free has been cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. You name it, they can clean it. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now, 281 Dirt Free, and tell them you heard it here at ESPN 97.5. They'll clean 3 rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. It's 281 Dirt Free, 281-347-8373, Dirt Free Carpet.
ESPN 97.5.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And we'll be happy to take some phone calls today since we haven't taken one in a week. So let's do one now. Let's go to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Sports, Eric. Sports.
Go, Eric.
Hello?
Hey, now.
Sports.
Hey, now.
Hey, guys. So I grew up in Iowa, and everyone I talked to in, like, college, I'm 23, talked to everybody in college, they loved Michael Jordan. They didn't like LeBron because they're from Chicago. And I kind of relate this, too. I just wanted to see the best person I could ever witness. Well, I was cheering very hard for LeBron. I didn't say he's the best. But I wanted him to be the best because I wasn't able to witness MJ in his prime. And this is kind of how it is with the Warriors. And so I want them to go and win these 73 games, be the best team ever. And that's really all I have to say.
Well, that's the way you think along the lines that I do. I don't care, you know, about – and I feel like we had this discussion. Where were we when we were talking about this, about – Michael Jordan versus – was that at Christian's yesterday? Maybe I was talking to my buddies there about it,
yeah,
to Randy and those guys.
It was before the game.
We were talking about how people don't want what they remember from their past, the things that they remember as being great. They don't want that to be toyed with or even equaled. And I remember when I started in radio, I worked with a guy named Hugh Lewis who he was convinced that regardless of era – Jim Brown was the greatest football player that ever played. And if Jim Brown were playing today, Jim Brown would run for 2,000 yards and he'd be the bee's knees. And I tried to tell him that Adrian Peterson's a better athlete than Jim Brown. I mean, when it boils down to, I mean, athletes over time, they get bigger, faster, stronger. That's how the world works. That's how strength and conditioning's changed. That's how supplements have changed the world. That's how, in some instances, not in Adrian Peterson's, mind you, but in some instances, steroids have shaped things. It's not that, and here's the other thing. Physically, LeBron James is a better athlete than Michael Jordan. People don't want to hear that. But if Michael Jordan could be put into LeBron James' body, he would have taken that all day. He would have taken that all day. It's just, I do think Michael Jordan had sort of an it factor and maybe more of a killer instinct than LeBron does. And that's one of the things that I think still separates them. But, I mean, just based on skills alone, I don't blame you. I love to see the next era of greatness. And that's why I love to see these Warriors do what they're doing. I've loved watching LeBron James' career because it's amazing to see greatness. I loved when Tiger Woods came around and changed the face of golf because since Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, it had been dead because there had been no greatness since then. And really, if there's never another great to compare the greatest ever to, what's the point of having a greatest ever? You know, it's what I say all the time about, I love watching Calvin Johnson. I was bummed to hear him hang him up because Calvin Johnson, physically, is a better wide receiver than Jerry Rice. And if anyone could have ever done the things Jerry Rice did, to me, it was Calvin Johnson. I love seeing that. I love seeing greatness because it's rare that you get to see it. And it comes around every 15, 20 years. You gotta catch it when you can.
Well, I agree. I think there's another part to this. Because, yeah, I love to see it. And you're right. It only happens every 10 to 15 years. And a lot of people are going to see that three times in their life, maybe twice. And what I object to is everyone going out of their way to try to create the next this guy. Because, like, LeBron was supposed to be the next MJ. I mean, he was, from the time he was in high school, that was the whole thing. This is the next MJ. And now golf is trying to do it. Oh, Jordan Spieth could be the next Tiger. Rory McIlroy could be the next. No, they're not going to be anywhere near what Tiger was. That's not happening with those guys. Great golfers.
Yeah.
And they're going to win their share of majors. But the reality is, no, they're not Tiger Woods. What you saw when Tiger Woods was at his best, I don't know that we'll see again. And I'm sure people said the same thing with Nicklaus.
Yep.
But that was amazing. And he's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. And the thing is, so the two sides of it are you try to create somebody to be that guy. That irritates me. But it irritates me more when people...
when they pretend it's not happening when it is.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
It is.
Like, just respect what's happening.
And enjoy it, because you may not see it again. We may not... We're probably never going to see a team win 73 games again in the NBA. Not in my lifetime, I don't think. So, even if you don't like the team, enjoy the greatness. This kind of goes back to the horse racing thing that I was talking about with Secretariat. And I was like, oh, and that was my horse. When I grew up, I was a little kid. I saw this, fell in love with the sport. It's like, oh, most amazing horse. And so when American Pharoah wins, I'm like, oh, well, he's no Secretariat. But if you kind of go and look at their records, it's pretty damn close. Appreciate what you're seeing now, because we may not see that again for another 30 years.
Right.
And instead of saying, oh, well, but he didn't do this, and Secretariat did this, how about look at what he did do, which was pretty bleeping incredible. And I wish people would do more of that, learn to appreciate stuff rather than artificially create something or just totally be locked into the past that you're ignoring what you're seeing. Let's, is that a D? Is that what that is?
It looks like D.
All right.
Although the other guy looks like D-I. What's going on with that, John?
Is there a...
The other guy's DJ. The other one's D.
All right, we'll go D first.
Hey, how about everybody uses... let's go with full names here, because we've got old people with bad eyes.
Yeah, and the screen is way across over there.
What up, D?
What's up?
Hey, my name is Donnie, by the way. I don't know why I said D. But anyways, two quick things, man. I just wanted to piggyback off two quick things y'all said. Man, you guys... And for the record, I love disagreeing with y'all. I wish I could call in every time I disagree. But for the record, man, you guys are absolutely right. You know, like my dad and, you know, my uncles, no one can beat Muhammad Ali or Jim Brown or Michael Jordan. And, I mean, and it's sad it's like that because I'm 41 years old, and I have no problem saying LeBron James is the best specimen I've ever seen on a basketball court and arguably the best player. Now, I know they throw titles in, but if everything was like track and somebody argued Jesse Owens, you couldn't make that argument because Usain Bolt has literally and physically broken all the records. So you guys are right. Athletes evolve. But one last point. AJ and Fred, I disagree about the Rockets not wanting to make the playoffs because if you got superstars and, you know, Dwight Howard and James Harden, they are superstars, nobody would rather be at home tanking than missing the playoffs. Two, they're going to get beaten four games, maybe five, but you'd rather get beaten those five games than miss the playoffs. And I'm going to let you guys talk. Appreciate it.
All right. I would venture that on this team, Dwight Howard's not a superstar. Dwight Howard scores 13 points per game. That's not superstar numbers. That's guy numbers. That's just a guy.
And I think part of it is how they use him as well.
Yeah, it is. They've kept him from being a superstar.
But and if you're a Rockets fan, I'm sure you'd rather see him in the playoffs. I just think,
yeah, but I mean,
realistically,
the chance, I'd much rather have that chance at the ping pong ball.
Although they're going to wind up if they get the ping pong ball and the pick to Denver is lottery protected, so they would get their pick. If they get in the playoffs, they don't get a pick, but that's all right. It's going to be a 15th pick. They're just going to draft any other Morris that's out there, so they won't get a good pick out of it anyway.
Unless they got the lucky ping pong ball.
Yeah, I don't like their chances. I don't see that happening. But the reality is, if you're a fan, you probably want to see him in the playoffs because you have hope that, you know, maybe. And you know what will happen? I can tell you exactly what will happen in this series.
What's going to happen exactly in this
series? Exactly five games. They're going to win a game against the Warriors. And they're going to play them close two other times because they can raise their game to a pretty good level when they play good teams. They're going to pull off an upset in one game. They're going to play them close twice. And then they'll get blown out the rest of the series. Okay. But everybody's going to talk about,
oh, that was a close five-game series.
If they could have just won those two games, they were so close.
Yeah,
it's a different series. There's nothing wrong with this team. It can be fixed. That's what's going to happen. DJ's turn. What's up, DJ?
Sports to you guys. Sports to you guys. Missed the show on yesterday, so I didn't really hear if you guys, you know, said anything about the whole Will Smith situation and what Tyrann Mathieu said. You know, being from New Orleans and, you know, being, you know, a kind of successful DJ, I can understand where you're coming from because there's a lot of things that go on down there. So just wanted to know, you know, what are you guys' thoughts on it? Because I know y'all go to New Orleans pretty often. Not as often as me, but, you know, y'all go down there and then just want to know you guys' thoughts on that whole situation.
And man, I go to New Orleans a couple times a year. And honestly, New Orleans is one of my favorite cities to visit in the country. That said, New Orleans is one of those places that I would not want to live. I feel like it's, I don't know. I feel like it's just a, it's a tourist place. The way I look at it, it's not for me. And that's no offense to anyone who lives there. I'm not trying to crap on that. I'm just saying it's not a place I would want to live. That said, I was asking my wife the other day because she usually goes with me when we go to New Orleans, and I go there every year without fail in September for that the Zwanzaa Day, and usually make another trip at some point during the year.
Yeah.
So I'm usually there about twice a year, and if there's no work stuff going on there.
Right.
And I said, when we're there, because I was thinking about what Sean Payton said about it being the Wild West, I said, do you ever feel like you're unsafe when we're there? And she said, no. And I think it's because we're always staying in the area, like we're either staying in the Garden District or in the French Quarter where there's cops everywhere.
Right.
It's, you know. The rest of New Orleans, it's not a place to be. I mean,
no, if you're,
I stick to the touristy areas when I go to New Orleans. I'm not like going out and you know.
I'll to be perfectly honest,
I'm not an outreach program. Bro.
A lot of times when I go to the fairgrounds, you got to go through a really bad area to get to the fairgrounds.
Yeah,
and I'm uncomfortable even in that cab. I'm just happy getting out of there when the races are over. But the one thing I'll say, I love New Orleans. Same thing. I'm there two or three times a year. The only thing about it now is since Ike, it used to be seedy and charming. Now I think it's just kind of seedy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't spend a lot of time in the French Quarter anymore because it just it's not quite the same as it was before. But I can see where he's coming from with all that. I really can. And that's not to. And by the way, DJ, you're more than just a sort of successful DJ. You're pretty big noise.
And by the way, like when I get drunk and walk around New Orleans sometimes, and I don't really worry about it. But again, I'm walking around these, you know, the big old homes, the like plantation style homes that are lining the Garden District, just ridiculous houses, and it doesn't feel like a place where you'd be nervous. It'd be like getting drunk and walking through River Oaks. You're not scared doing that. But there are parts where I would imagine it's pretty scary.
But you know what? There's parts of Houston that I won't go to.
Of course,
that's any big city.
Fred, you know me. I don't go southeast of downtown unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah,
and if I do, I'm going to Pearland. I'm taking the Beltway all the way around.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back. I want to follow up on that because Sean Payton weighed in too, and we'll get your thoughts on that. More phone calls, too. So let's keep the conversation going. 713-780-3776. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then he's like, I guess this guy was like, get out of here. I have a gun. And he goes, I got one too. And he grabs his gun and then he shoots him. And then he's dead.
Oh, there's a dead man over there?
Yeah.
Which one? In the SUV or the...
In the Mercedes truck.
Oh, my God.
And we are back on The Blitz. John, what was that specifically?
Well, so the witness kind of explained what happened. They both got out of the car. They were kind of mad at each other. What's coming out now is a security footage of Will Smith driving behind Hayes' car, his Hummer, and Hayes kind of stops in the middle of the road with nobody in front of him, and Will Smith kind of bumps Hayes' car. Hayes kind of pulls off to the side, and Will Smith kind of backs up and goes by him. And I guess what they're describing is that Hayes was following Will Smith and then bumped Smith's car, and they both got out. And Will Smith allegedly said that I have a gun. Hayes said I have a gun, and Will Smith said so do I. And allegedly, Will Smith went back to his car, turned his back to him, was going back to his car allegedly to get a gun, and was shot 6 times. Damn. And that's what the witnesses were saying. They were saying the guy was going back to his car, saying that I have a gun, and all of a sudden the guy shot him in the back.
Hmm. Yeah, it's weird because there was a shooting in Midtown the other night, and one of the things I do every Monday morning when I take the dog out, the night guy who works the desk down there, I always ask him, you know, did anything weird happen this weekend? Because sometimes I get really funny stories out of
it.
And he had said, did you hear about the shooting last night? You know, no. And one of the residents had come in and told him about it and had actually seen the two bodies in the street and was just shaking. I can't imagine witnessing something like that. I mean, that's just got to be horrible for anybody. But Sean Payton weighed in with, you know, his take is that he says that this opinion in Louisiana is super unpopular, so be it. Probably flashed a Super Bowl ring at that point to remind him that, hey, if it's unpopular, look what I brought you. Says 200 years from now, they're going to look back and say, what was that madness about? Talking about guns. The idea that we need them to fend off intruders. People are more apt to draw them in other situations. That's some silly stuff we're hanging on to. And he went on to say, does not believe our founding fathers intended for citizens to have guns to kill each other with as frequently as that happens. He wants a country without guns like England where police don't even carry them.
All right.
I don't know, man. Obviously, he can't do his job in England, so. The problem is well, we'll find out if this guy had a gun legally or what. I'm not changing my mind on things because I just think there's a lot of responsible gun owners out there that don't go around shooting people in the street because they bumped their car. I'd rather be the gun owner that if some guy's going to shoot me, I'm not going to tell you I got a gun.
Right.
I'm just going to go get it.
Yeah, that's why I always think people who do open carry, you're just in, you're a clown. I mean, if you're going to shoot somebody, just take care of your business.
Yeah. Don't shoot here. Let me get my wallet.
Yeah.
Now my turn. But I get, I get his opinion, and obviously after something like this, he's going to express it. But and it's not realistic at this point. It really isn't. Dustin said his friend's 14-year-old son saw a murder near Pearland last week. Brutal.
Jeez.
Golly.
There was somebody by my kid's baseball field. There's somebody, like, they found some body over there.
Oh, man. Stop killing each other, dudes.
Yeah.
DJ reminds me, Katrina, not Ike. I think I said after Ike. It's after Katrina is what I meant. I get my storms confused because Ike kind of screwed things up here for a long time. John, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Wanted to talk about comparing different eras of sports. But first, a real quick New Orleans story. I had two buddies who were on Bourbon Street one night. They got split up. They both went down the wrong street, and they both got mugged and rolled. One of them got hit in the head with a 2x4 and ended up in the hospital. But that's just a quick little New Orleans story. You know, when you're comparing eras, you mentioned earlier that nowadays people don't seem to appreciate what's happening now. I think it's the exact opposite. People anoint greatness too quickly. I mean, to me, it's as soon as a player has a good year and a half, it's like, oh, this guy's the greatest ever. We'll never see another guy like this. Blob. I mean, it's just too quick for me. I mean, they don't let people put down a foundation of a career and say, now this guy's great. It's like, as soon as they do anything, like even Steph Curry, for example, he's an outstanding shooter. But so after a few years, they're talking about, oh, this guy's the greatest whatever ever, and they had a stat come out that showed Isaiah Thomas's first however many years that Steph Curry's been playing, and his stats were better. I mean, it's just people don't. They just, I think everybody wants to claim that their generation is the greatest. The old guys want to say they were the greatest. The Generation X, they want to say, oh, those guys were the greatest. And then the millennials and whoever nowadays, oh, this guy's, you can't compete. Those guys are old. They had side jobs on the off season. Blah blah blah. I think the best way to do it is compare each player. How much better were they than their players that they played against? It's impossible to compare Jordan to Bill Russell or whatever. How much better was player X against everybody else he played against?
Well, that's kind of an offshoot of what I was saying earlier. Is this? We're too quick to anoint people, and then we wind up disappointed when they don't do it. I think there's something to that, but you can't just take best of an era guy, because some of these eras suck. There are some stretches. The NBA in the 90s was not good basketball. There was a long stretch there where it was just bad basketball. Yeah. And
I mean, Allen Iverson was like one of the best players. And listen, I love Allen Iverson, but Allen Iverson was never going to be like an all-time legendary great, you know, he's never going to be on the Mount Rushmore of anything.
No, but he was the best of that era.
Right.
But so I don't think you can just do that. But to your point about anointing people, I blame ESPN for this. I listen to Mike, and anytime something happens, they're always, was this the greatest this ever? Was this the greatest that ever? And no, it wasn't. It's not even the conversation. The exception? That NCAA championship game that was played here, that's in that conversation. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes because we are over-creating things. And it's the race to get web hits. It's the race to get ratings. That's what people do. And I disagree with it. But I also think that makes it harder to sit back and really see when something brilliant is happening in some ways. And maybe harder to accept it. For as great as Jordan was, everybody has this impression the guy never played a bad game. You know, he had his crap games. He had crap games in the finals.
Yep.
But you don't remember that. And, yeah, I just think it's – I think if these guys set the record in an era where there's another team in their conference that's pretty damn good, that's impressive. And you should appreciate it for what it is so you can say, you know what, I saw the team that set the wins record in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. I don't know why people hate that so much. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in.
I'm also curious what stats he saw that Isaiah Thomas was better than Steph Curry.
Well, and okay. I mean,
the last 2 years of Steph Curry are unprecedented.
Well, I don't know either, but I'm sure that he saw a graphic on TV that pulled out five things that were the exact same. See, that's another thing that kind of drives me nuts, is they'll do this to make a positive point and a negative point. And TV does this worse than anybody. They put up a graphic comparing so-and-so to so-and-so, and there'll be five things. You're like, oh, wow, this guy was better. All right, now go get the rest of the stats and show me.
Right.
Not just those five things. And it's either to make a guy look bad or make a guy look good, or make a team look bad or make a team look good. That's what makes this, and it's all just to create this kind of conversation so that people will come and make their case that, oh, this guy, Isaiah Thomas, is better because I saw a graphic on TV. Good point, though, in general. 832 says, there was a time when ESPN was saying Kaepernick was going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever because he could pass and run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Jaws that did that.
Yeah.
Said he could be one of the great all-time greats.
I think Skip Bayless thought Johnny Football was going to be an all-time great NFL player. Remember that?
Yeah. See, now this is the kind
of... the difference between hearing idiots say something and hearing rational humans who have actually seen things happen say something.
Theoretically. Who would win a fight, 1975 OJ or 2012 Aaron Hernandez? I got to go with Hernandez because in 75, OJ wasn't killing people yet.
Yeah, OJ had very little murder experience in 75.
You want to go with 1995 OJ?
Oh, yeah, 95 OJ got a little knifey. So
I'll still go 2012 Aaron Hernandez. At least he...
gun versus knife, I'm taking gun guy.
Yeah, and at least Aaron Hernandez... Like, OJ, he always, like... even when he... I mean, when everybody pretty much knew he had done it, he still, like, tried to keep up this thing of innocence. Aaron Hernandez was just very coldly quiet about it.
Hmm.
And pretty much the only time... He pled not guilty, but that was pretty much the extent of it, you know, because you have to.
And I think somebody said the graphic was the first 3 years of their career. Last time I checked, Steph Curry's kind of moved on past the first 3 years. And he's got... Look, the guy's improved. He's got to be a better player from what he was when he came into the league. If anybody thought he was this, he's going first overall.
Well, also, I'm looking at this. Isaiah Thomas' second season in the league averaged 22.9 points per game. That was his highest of his career. And Steph Curry is averaging 29.9 in his seventh season.
Chase says, I think the 96 Bulls would thrive with today's rules. The reason they got beat early on by Pistons was due to physicality. Yeah, what you don't remember is that by the time the 96 Bulls were around, they had adapted to the physical rules of the NBA, and they had Dennis Rodman on their team, and they were as physical as anybody, and I don't think it would work. I've said this before. I think if you put the Warriors in the Bulls era, the Bulls win that series. If you put the Bulls in the Warriors era, I think the Warriors win the series.
I think the Warriors win the series, but I'm not sure because one thing about that Bulls team is they could adapt. They could play a lot of different styles, and I think defensively their guard play against the Warriors would be the difference.
You think that, but you haven't seen anyone defend the Warriors' guards.
No, I haven't, but I also haven't seen Klay Thompson try to shoot over Scottie Pippen or, you know, and I think Michael Jordan in his prime was quick enough to stay with Steph Curry, and with his elevation, I think he'd make it really hard on him. I don't know. I know he could get around Steve Kerr pretty easy.
Yeah.
Probably still can. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Kick off your weekend right. Have lunch out with ESPN 97.5. Each Friday, John and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered. We'll broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Is it supposed to rain today? Looked like it was going to for a while.
I don't know. I think it's going to always rain.
Are you in one of those stretches where it's going to rain every day for the rest of our lives?
Yeah, it was raining in Vegas, and then
I've
been wanting to ride my motorcycle, and since we've been back, there hasn't been an opportunity, and I don't know. It ain't good. It ain't good. My truck's dirty, and it's in that dirty phase where you can't wash it.
Yeah, because it might
rain. It's just going
to rain. And that's the same thing in my car. They're doing construction in the garage, so my car's all dusty, and I want to go take it and get it washed.
We can deal with that.
But, you know, I shouldn't complain because we had a great run of weather there before we left. But now it's just kind of that, eh. Let's try. Are we all just using initials today? We'll try PJ. What's up, PJ?
Yeah, sports.
Sports to you.
Clarify what that other caller was saying about the Isaiah Thomas, Steph Curry stat. The first 6 years of their careers, Isaiah Thomas has better averages in points, rebounds, assists, and steals than Steph Curry.
No, not better averages, better totals.
Well, better total, yeah. Higher totals than Steph Curry in their first 6 years.
Yeah, somebody showed me that the meme that was floating around the internet that had those numbers. And here's what it doesn't point out. But by the way, this is Steph's seventh year in the NBA. So they're taking away this year, which is clearly a historically great year.
Exactly.
Secondly, they're not mentioning the fact that Steph, when his ankle was messed up, basically played 22 games in one of the years of his career. So that's why the total numbers, not the average numbers, not points per game, not assists per game, not all that. They're taking total numbers for the first 6 years, which basically gives Steph, you know, it takes away over half of a season and doesn't account for his best statistical season. So that's why I hate the internet.
And
it's troll town.
Well, it is. And again, it's the same thing. You're pulling out stats to back up an argument. And the truth is, the last really 2.5 years of Steph Curry, let's compare those 2.5 years to the same time in Isaiah Thomas's career. If you want to play this little game, I guarantee you it's not close.
Yeah.
I don't have to do the research on it. I can guarantee you it's not close. Take the last 3 years. Years 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
And because the guy got better. It happens. That's like, you know, trying to compare Akeem Olajuwon's last year in the league with Shaq that year. Oh, this is why Shaq's better. Well, he is now, yeah, because Akeem's old.
Right.
But you have to look at I love how manipulative we've gotten with statistics, especially in sports, where we just pick and choose things that are going to back up our argument rather than try to look at everything and come to it with an educated opinion.
Where is it? I just saw it on Twitter.
Somebody says, one thing I think people fail to realize is that Jordan changed the game from the way it's played to the uniforms. That in itself is greatness.
So did Jalen Rose and Chris Webber.
You know what? You know how he changed the game? He made it okay to travel.
That's true.
They basically changed the rules so that Jordan could travel.
Here it is. Steve. Carlos Correa was outside my AJ's top five to start a club with last year. Wonder if it changed now. It still hasn't changed because the guy's played 100 games of baseball. I'll wait a little bit before I decide that all of a sudden he's better than Mike Trout or Bryce Harper because he's played 100 games. Has he been impressive through 100 games? Of course. But do I think Carl Anthony Towns, while he was fantastic this season and not even a question, the best rookie in the class, and it made me look like a genius for laughing at anyone who said they should take Jahlil Okafor over Carl Anthony Towns. But it's 1 year. It's 1 year. And in Correa's case, it's not even a full year. The guy's played, you know, 70% of a season.
But that's our society, man. Oh, Tyler White's the answer at first base.
Yeah.
This guy's on fire.
Yeah, Tyler White is now Lou Gehrig. Congratulations. I mean, you got five games in a row with a hit.
Okay. See, now, and if this were happening in the middle of June while he was hitting 230 before that stretch, which happens a lot, saying, hey, maybe he's turning it around.
You know who did that last year for the Astros? Who got off to a really hot start?
Who's that?
Jake Marisnick.
Oh, yeah.
You know how I know? I picked him up last year.
You picked him up on your fantasy
and
team?
Then he finished the year hitting him below 300.
Well,
have you already picked up Tyler White?
No, I have not. Okay. I think somebody else snatched him up.
Ah. Let's try Joe. What's up, Joe?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, sports.
Hey, I wanted to see if y'all could clarify from the what you were talking about, how the Bulls pretty much could adapt to today's game.
What's the question?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear a word he said.
He said, explain why you think the Bulls could adapt to today's NBA.
Why do I think they couldn't?
They could.
Oh,
I'm the one that said I thought they could. Thing. But they're not going to adapt overnight. If you watch that, those of us who were alive for that team, which doesn't include a lot of you, they made a lot of adjustments over time. And the reason that second three title run was much better than the first three is they went out and got Dennis Rodman,
right,
who was one of the all-time great rebounders who kept getting them more and more possessions, and he would do that now. And they had guys who could shoot threes. They could spread the floor. And, yeah, I basically that Phil Jackson offense, it's worked in two eras. So I can't see any reason why that team wouldn't be able to adjust and play the same way, especially since it's a more guard-favorable league. And even though a lot of times they were playing three, Jordan and Pippen were guards. They were big guards. And I think they'd be able to adjust. I still think in this era, with more familiarity with it, the Warriors would win. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Bulls beat them. That was a damn good team. But I'm not one of those guys who is going to protect their legacy.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. All right. Well, you need to protect your own legacy, especially if you got pulled over for...
Oh, if you're accused of DWI.
Yeah.
That can be a painful one. Everyone knows that. And if even if you fail the breath or blood test... It's not the end of the world if that happens to you guys. Don't just roll over and die and let them have their way with you, because the testing and the science behind the testing, very faulty with these things. Breath test machines are not warranted fit for testing. Most states have gone away from the technology because it's just old. It's outdated. Same with the blood test. It's not like CSI on television. The test can't even positively identify alcohol from other substances. It can be easily contaminated. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. And what that means is he's experienced in telling the truth to juries about the science and the faults in the science behind police blood testing and breath testing. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Don't trust your future, your money, your life to just some Joe Schmo in the phone book. Put Gary's number in your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010. Or check out his website, texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
Promoting bloated dummies. Tomorrow's sick day. Staying home, keeping stunning. No bees, no honey, no work, no money in my cubicle.
Set your clock and grab your job.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.